Care Center. ADRC provides free memory screen Mondays for those concerned about memory changes. Call to schedule an appointment. The number is 262-605-6646.
This is WGTD HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, Jenny Tunkies, former reporter for the Kenosha News and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive, Marcia Connett, who is a Southeast Regional Consultant for Wisconsin Literacy, and she provides literacy education support and management expertise, and Xander Miller, a librarian at the Kenosha Public Library who also works on technology and digital skills. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 30-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Hello, and welcome to Community Matters. My name is Xander Miller. Today, I am sitting down with the media coordinator for Kenosha Community Media, Jason Rimkus. Jason, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Thank you so much, Xander, for allowing me the opportunity to be on this program.
So, the first thing I want to ask is, Kenosha Community Media, what is it?
Sure, I'll give you a little history of it. Well, Kenosha Community Media is a nonprofit organization, and we offer workshops in remote cameras, editing, and studio as well. How this all came about? Well, it was way back in mid-80s is that there was the cable companies were coming into the communities, and but they had to string these cable lines through the rights of way, like city parks and things like that, and they negotiate with the city and say, okay, we'll put up those lines, you can put up those lines across those parks, but we would like to have a community channel. And the reason being is that so that way nonprofit organizations don't have the money to create commercials. Or now this is prior to people having editing software on their computers or phones and things, so there was like nowhere to create a video.
Or even like post it like YouTube or stuff like that.
That wasn't there at all. So that's why it was really value back then to get something on the channel lineup so that people could see things out in the community. And that was formed. Same basic operations where you could teach the community to come in and learn equipment and display it on the channel. Now, along the ways, I think it was 2004 is when the cable contract was up with the city. Now, it was very interesting that not only Kenosha Community has a public access channel, but other cities as well. Not all the cities in the state, so that was very neat that we had something to do that. So the contract was expired in 2004, and then they renegotiated, and luckily they extended the contract, I think it was like for another 20 years, to keep it going as well. So, but the difference was we created as a nonprofit organization, but the same operation. We still came in and gave workshops, and then also aired their programs on the channel, and then we changed it from Kenosha Community Television to Kenosha Community Media, because as you mentioned, not only can you put programming on the channel, but you can post it on social media, on YouTube. We have a Roku channel where it streams to the channel as well, so we kind of expanded out our platforms so people can learn about that.
So and what was that year founding again? It was
In the very concept of a community, or actually it was called public access at the time, but it was 1985, I'd say.
So we're almost coming up on 40 years?
Correct. And that, again, not every or along the ways, maybe they didn't get the funding, the contracts didn't get renegotiated, but we are still going, which is great. So yeah, we'd be celebrating our 40-year anniversary coming up in 2025.
Yeah, So it's workshops, working with nonprofits, working with individuals, all of those things are something that Kenosha Community Media has been helping with for 40-something years.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You bring up a good point. It's not just the equipment and the classes, but we're also outreaching out to the community with those nonprofit organizations that don't have that voice or platform that now they do. And that's why it's sort of snowballed year after year that people utilized our services as well. Sometimes nonprofit organizations just don't have the time to create a program, whether it's ongoing or maybe just a one-time thing, that we do have our community message board where people can email us their events coming up or their fundraiser. And we put that on not only on the channel when the programs aren't running, but our social media platforms as well. So that's why we're in a area called the Hub, and that's kind of where the Hub came into play, is that sort of the hub for local community media events as well.
Yeah, so nowadays, of course, not just TV, YouTube, social media, wherever it's pushed, and people often contact you using a community board and make sure that, you know, can reach out and learn more about what they can have and pushed out.
That's very, yes, that's, they do quite a bit, and that's very popular. But I just got one from, you know, Lakeside Players. They've got events coming up as well. The Aging and Disability Resource Center every week sends me postings as well, just because they know that, okay, yes, we can put stuff on our social media platforms, but there are people watching on these other platforms that may not know about this event. And the big part about this is it doesn't cost a dime. It's just come and email me your event. It would help if you already have a graphic made up. At my email address is jason@kenoshamedia.org, and we will get that community event out there.
Wow. So all of that completely free, and it's not like you're recording on like a camera and you just kind of work on it. This, what's the type of equipment that Kenosha Community Media has available in their hub, you said?
Sure. So over the years, the equipment obviously has changed over the years, but the same process is still the same. And people also learn our workshops. You know, even when I tour like network stations in the Wisconsin, Illinois area, you know, you can learn to these skills and go on and you maybe get a job in that field in some capacity. So we have our digital cameras that we check out with tripods and also hooked up to microphones as well, because now we're stepping it up, saying you're going to have a professionally recorded project. You're going to get good sounding audio, like we have here now, and then also picture-wise as well. So you're going to have a good sounding picture and audio. And then when you're done, then you can come back here and edit your program. Or maybe you have editing software at home, but just didn't have the time to start working on a project or didn't have a project to work on. Now you do. So you can utilize our computer services here, and we'll talk about the library as well. And then, or you can take your footage and then record it at home. And then when you got it, you can either, I've had people put it on their websites, on their social media, or they can bring it back to me, and then I put it on the community channel as well. So that, oh, and the neat thing also is our media lab here too as well. We get a lot of people coming in for interest, especially we're in this room now, which has a green wall here. So people not only use this room to create videos, but also for pictures. You know, then they'll take it and put it into Photoshop and create their own maybe programming or any their own posters and things like that, and get that on their websites and social media. And it's not only just a, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but so we have the media lab here. So we have the cameras, the tripods, the editing software, the media lab, multi-cameras, teleprompters. people light up. There's tour groups that come in here ever so often, and they say, well, there's teleprompters, which they use on Channel 12, Fox 6, WGN, all that stuff. Even our TriQuest or Switcher uses them in the public schools and universities because it's a professional product, but easy to use. And so we purchased that product as well. So you're getting state-of-the-art equipment that you can use to even further your education or perhaps your career.
Wow. So it sounds like you've got this resource, and there's a lot of focus on that professional quality out there to give we've talked about nonprofits a lot. It's to give groups and nonprofits, individuals, the opportunity to see and use the same equipment that might be seen on like a professional news channel or be used on one.
Absolutely. We get that. We have gotten that in the past too as well. One thing about communities, public access community centers, media labs that have it is also we're near bigger cities, and not all the community events get covered in that, or local, they call them media deserts, where there's just not enough areas where the news comes down to covers those events. This is where it happens. So we get all the time people coming in. If they have an event, Kenosha Community Media also covers certain events as well. So we cover the Kenosha Civic Veterans Parade. We've covered the Kenosha Symphony Orchestra concerts. We've covered the Kenosha Literacy Spelling Bee. The Hawthorne Hollow, they have media concerts as well. So that it's kind of a win-win situation. So we're promoting those events, but then they're also going to tune in and watch our streaming channel or the channel or Roku or our YouTube videos and gets traffic. And then they know about us, and we may get a few people to take the workshops as well. So it's kind of a win-win situation. So yeah, a lot of the community events like that we cover as well.
So wow, so it's not just that people are coming in to use the equipment and taking it out, it's that you're going out there to their events, recording and getting that getting their events on TV.
Correct. It's just another one on my hat. So I teach the workshops, I oversee the channel, but I also go out and cover events as well. And that's always a great thing, because again, that's what separates us from other channels or other media outlets, that we're actually also giving you the full event as well. Sometimes they just use the 5 or 10 second snippets either on their highlighted media channels, but we can go back and give you that whole concert or event as well.
And so if someone's just like, they might see something, say in the Kenosha News, they may hear a snippet on, like, we're on the radio, they may hear a snippet of it, but you'll see the whole show on either the local news channel or on your YouTube channel, as you mentioned.
Right. I do want to, so if I could touch on now the public library system, how we're involved with that. So in the mid-80s, or actually when it opened, is that the probably one, not the first, but one of the first institutions that came in was the Kenosha Public Library. And it was called, I believe, the Magic Place, and it was Jan Sinclair. And she was kind of similar to a story time where they did it, but once again, it was great that they got early to, once again, to let people know what the Kenosha Public Library has to offer. Over the years, we've always been in partnership or in promotion of the Kenosha Public Library through our message boards, and also one of the branch managers, we did like a highlight, what's new at the public libraries and things like that. We did a documentary on the Gilbert M. Simmons Library. We went in and did a little history documentary as well. When I came in, I covered story times on the south side, on the southwest branch, and then also just covered or promoted events in some capacity. So between 2015 and 2017, Kenosha Community Media sat down with the Kenosha Public Library and says, we do so much with you, you know, is there space available at the public library where we can, since they have a lot of traffic coming through here, we can snag some of them and have them give the workshops here, and as well as promote the events here so that we don't have to drive across town or that type of thing. They liked it. They made an agreement to have us utilize the space, and then we purchased the equipment to offer the workshops and utilize that. We did some great programming here, the 60 for 30 project. We've covered the Big Read as well with that, and just many other programs to highlight it, not just the Southwest branch, any other types like the Haunted Simmons that goes on as well, and the Kenosha Writers Guild that was part of an event with the Kenosha Public Library is involved. So just pounds and pounds of different content that we've been creating, not only with the public libraries, with nonprofit organizations, and it's been going great. They've been great partner, and we're enjoying every minute of it.
Yeah, and we're even recording originally for this in the library's the hub space as well.
Correct.
But it sounds like the partnership there formed fairly organically. Like it wasn't, you know, didn't start as something the library would be involved with, but came about because there seemed to be a mutual, hey, we're working with you a lot, you're working with us a lot, let's kind of just get together.
Absolutely, and that's exactly how it happened. And then the nice thing is that we're kind of in the early stages because other public libraries sort of have the same sort of initiative that they've been doing as well. And we had a tour, I think Skokie Public Library had a media lab that we looked at first as well. And then once we created it, I saw others that popped up. Sun Prairie Community Media is all in there. Sun Prairie Public Library doing pretty much the exact same thing that we're doing. When I had a conference in Madison, I went down to that public library. Same situation. I have a room about this size has a green screen as well. Elmhurst Public Library I've been to, and also Skokie Public Library, and I'm sorry, Schaumburg Library has a digital production, as well as I just toured Chicago. So they're starting to pop up because I think public libraries want to reinvent themselves. That's not just checking out books and DVDs, but also coming in from the community and create something. And this is where we come in and keep it going.
Yeah, let's talk about some of that creation aspect, because you teach workshops, but what are the types of skills that people are learning when they come in and work with you on some of their own projects?
Well, Xander, I'll be completely honest with you. Some people haven't even touched a keyboard when I've taught them. Not all of them, but that's coming. So I maybe even have to go to the basics of a computer. But after that, if they obviously do have computer skills, the basics of nonlinear editing, which back in the old days, tape to tape was linear editing. When they had it more affordable with software on the computer, you can manipulate images and things like that. So they can start with that. We start off with a basic program called iMovie, which is on the Mac computers. Very basic, but also after you learn it, then you can go on to, let's say, Final Cut Pro or Adobe Premiere, or if you know a little bit of Photoshop, Adobe Premiere is a little bit easier to use. And then also, so that's kind of where what we teach on that level. Cameras, it's not just checking out a camera, it's how to use it, you know, how to check your framing, how to check your audio levels, and as far as other techniques, or when it's recorded, the transfer to the computer, which has come a long way, because even 10 years ago, to upload something on YouTube, it might have took, depending on your service, anywhere between 3 to 7 hours for a half hour programmable now, a half hour thinking done in minutes. So mm-hmm. it's like, that's where I think more people are using the lab. The pandemic, as far as you know, a lot of digital video was just, people were contacting me, you know, because we have to do virtual program, which we did as well. So I think there's just been a boom now in content creation as well. And at least this is a section of it. And we talk a lot about, you know, the tools that we have to use, but it's also the camaraderie, where we had the Kenosha Writers Guild. Anybody who comes in as a group leaves here having a smile on face, feeling they have accomplished something, or even they watch it on their computer, or on their TV, or on their phone. It's like they feel that they've accomplished something, and that's really what makes it all happen as well.
Yeah, because I imagine that when people are want to make something, they may come in, you've mentioned they may have zero skills at all.
Or even idea. They might not ever. I get people that say, I don't have an idea. I saw these cameras here and check it out. The lady that actually recorded that Speaking of Our Words program had no experience. After they were done with the workshop, they came in for once a month and knows all aspects of the media lab. And that, again, was fulfilling.
And that's super transferable too, because if someone wants to go into media, into news broadcasting, even like movie filming, what they do here and with the equipment they use here, some of that's going to directly transfer to doing that, right?
Right. And what's great about this is I never say no to their ideas, meaning like you just brought up a film, so I do want to do a short movie. Before all of this, I was taking my camcorder and shooting little bits and movies and pieces of things. And if they have an idea, or if they have an idea for a talk show, or if they have, we have an idea for a program that goes on, we have a couple music programs as well, sporting shows, informational shows, any type of idea, you know, we accept, especially when it's community related. We're called Kenosha Community Media. I like that tagline, community is our middle name, which it is. So it's like that is bringing it together. So the answer to your question, as far as if you don't have an idea or don't have any knowledge in any equipment, we teach on a basic level. And if you don't have an idea, there's also existing programs that go on that you can join. That Dr. Destruction's Crimson Theater is a huge one that a lot of people watch and view. The records here, we have a green screen, replace it with a still or a moving image. So if you don't have any experience in media, or if you don't have an idea, still come on down.
So I know that you mentioned the technology's changed a lot in the past 10 or so years, and I see people when they're talking about making films or movies, they'll talk about how on an iPhone you can almost shoot an entire movie on an iPhone now, and it'll have very high quality. You can do different controls, and I'll use iMovie here. What would you say is different from shooting something with like an iPhone? We know they're pretty quality cameras. Shooting it with an iPhone to shooting something that, or using the equipment that you have here.
Well, you're right. That quality has come a long way, and has come with people are shooting on iPhones, or if they even shoot. I've had people where they shoot, edit at their computer, but still send it here to get it broadcasted or put on our channel or our community media platforms. I guess the shooting with our, maybe if when I take a record, or people that take the camcorders out versus using their phone, sometimes they just like more the stability of it, whereas like some people grab their phone and they can only hold on to it for so many hours. They can get maybe their own tripod with that and make it better. There's really no, I should say, better one versus the other. The nice thing with iPhones, you can, you know, obviously put it in your pockets or what have you. The capability on the camcorders, maybe the zoom features on it, maybe just as far as when you plug it into the sound with it, and just the availability of the cameras. And some people may not have their phone for that for recording purposes, whereas like this is just a step to learn more about the camcorders in general. But yeah, to answer your question, I think that it's just another way to start learning about your framing, your sound, and your picture quality. But both have equal quality.
So I'm also curious in how you got involved in all of this, because Kenosha Community Media, you said it sounded like you joined it, not at the beginning, but somewhere right. along the lines sure. in there. So how did you get involved? What's some of your story with media production and getting into all of this type of work?
Sure, absolutely. I think, and again, I think prior to the media boom we're talking about is that I was kind of raised on more like film and projectors and film cameras per se. And when video came in, it just got me interested even more. So I did check out or use the cameras at Petrifying Springs, made like short Indiana Jones type of movies or and just love the interest in all that. So after that, so when I did, when found out about public access, I made a short movie, where can I put it on? I heard about this public access thing and I submitted it from there. And I got involved a lot with community television back then with that, just constantly learning. Even today, when media just changes ever so often, that I'm always interested in learning those skills and those tools on it. From there, I also worked in news stations as well. And then when I kind of got a lot of experience behind my belt, this position opened up for community media or TV coordinator at the time. And I've kind of been with it ever since.
Yes, it sounds like you've kind of always had an interest in television and media and shooting films.
Yeah, and I love it when the community's gotten more and more involved, especially now when the tools are they're very accessible now. That always makes me feel good. And also seeing other projects come in, because more, I do a lot of recording and a lot of editing, but when I like to see others that what they've done and we talked about these short movies. There was someone that came in, her name's Wendy, and I believe with the Boys and Girls Club, and made a video and shot it by the lake, Michigan. I didn't even realize it was made in Kenosha. That's how good it was.
Wow.
So you can, this talent out there is just so terrific, and it's like, please come on down and submit this stuff, because we like to showcase it on our platforms. Yeah, the Boys and Girls Club, I mean, that's another organization. They've got their 30th anniversary coming up, and they've contacted us, send us, again, they don't have the time to create the video, so we collaborate them, and we are making a video for them right now.
Okay, so I'm curious, you've worked with Kenosha Community Media for a number of years now, and you must have worked on probably, would you say, hundreds of projects at this point?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
All right, so what are some of those, your favorite projects and something that you've worked on or have seen come through the community working with Kenosha Community Media?
Well, you know, I brought up the Lakeside Players. There was Lauren Lasley. She was great. Another one that just got interested in video and seeing that those little promos that they created for the Lakeside Players. And again, it's a win-win situation. You're showcasing your creativity. Everybody has some great creativity around here, and we like to showcase it, not so much in video, but performance arts, singing, you know, all of that. So that was really good. That Simmons documentary did was good. Jeff Boss, who's also a great person in the community that is involved in restoring the Kenosha Theater downtown, created some great video, and we collaborated with him as well on that. So it's always different, and it's not like I've created a talk show over the years called Just Talking, and I also bring in people in the community because just to get that step in the door and to have them maybe not do a program but just learn about it. The Kenosha Chamber of Commerce, those are great collaborators, Lou Molitor and now Dave Strash, who's the executive director, president. Great organization, and that's a great collaboration that we do as well over the years. Again, with all these hundreds of doing them, but I think the point about it is that it's just different. The programming is different, and it's allowing and it's bringing the community together, and that's a good thing.
Wow, it's honestly this kind of work seems like a great fit for you. It's just as a person, I can kind of feel that.
And I think that's what it kept me all these years. It's like this as well, you know, because I know the community, and over the years, another project that's great working collaborating is the Kenosha History Center. Does a program called Kenosha Voices, and it's again win-win situation with them too. They're documenting stories about, you know, the manufacturing in Kenosha, the AMC cars that they created in Kenosha, and then it ranges from the spot, the owner of the spot, as far as of hot making, you know, burgers and shakes and things like that. So it's a great community project that I'm working with, but why I bring that up is when I leave here, John Gehring would say, you're probably the most educated person in Kenosha with all this information coming through here. But it's definitely, again, rewarding with that. But yes, it was a great fit. I go to these two conferences. There's the Wisconsin Community Media, which is an association of all the public access community television in Kenosha, in Wisconsin, I'm sorry. And there's about 72, I believe, in that. And then there's the Alliance for Community Media, which is a national organization with all the states that do that. And I was actually at the one in Milwaukee years ago that actually, when they created Wisconsin Community Media. But that's always a great conference because then I'm seeing hundreds of me along. You know, that there is somebody out there that do that, and it's like with best practices, you learn what works for them and they want to hear what works for them. It's nobody's better than the other, it's more of we're all in the same boat trying to do that. And that's also why we're in with the public library, same mission, same thing. We want to bring the community together and make the community a better place to live.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. It's honestly a bit baffling how much work is kind of done through here. You can't just do it alone, do you? How much, great. I guess, who else or has been helping you throughout the years?
Great point. Okay, so as you know, maybe WGN has 200 employees, or CNN has, you know, on those national networks, we have hundreds or maybe thousands of employees. Kenosha Community Media, we have three. Okay, I'm the media coordinator. Ralph Pirro is my media assistant. And as of right now, we have Christy Mattel, who's our executive director. They help me a lot as far as keeping me going. And then also the board of directors that I meet with once a month that looks at maybe fundraising or equipment purchases and things like that help me out a lot. Because, yes, you could... It's very easily to get burned out with all this stuff going on, but it's nice to have the board of directors and my fellow staff members to kind of keep this organization going. So even though I do a lot, there's others that do well. Also volunteers. When we do the big one is that Civic Veterans Parade, And there's just a number of volunteers that have not only volunteered on that, but other programs as well. We have Rich Schmerling, we have Rick Appleby, just to name a few. And those that I haven't mentioned, believe me, you're all in the same boat. I thank you as well. But we have just a great number of volunteers as well working with our project. So future guests have you, when you have on the show, Xander, especially with nonprofit organizations, when I interview them or if they want to get the word out, they love it when we ask, do you need more volunteers? Because that's another great service that we offer, is that getting the word out that they need volunteers or fundraising that's going on that they need. This is just an outlet to get them to have more volunteers. So
yeah. So I want to ask, where do you see the future of community media going? Because there's been a lot of change. We just, you know, we're still, COVID is still a big impact, but who just moved it down from like a world health crisis kind of level. And we're seeing more being published online. We're seeing there's a writer's strike going on right now in media. Where do you see community media in the future, for yourself, but also in general, for media channels everywhere, communities everywhere?
Yeah, that's always come up, and it seems like in every stage, it's been brought up, but community media centers has always been around, meaning, okay, we went from VHS to mini DV tape, and it's like, and cost has come down dramatically. I think for an edit machine back in mid to late 80s, even early 90s, was maybe about $25,000.
Wow.
$25,000 just to edit, have an editing machine. Now you buy your phone and your computer, it's already on there for free or whatever. But we kept on going. The Media Lab is still here. And from that, different platforms. Okay, not everybody has cable, but they also have Roku, streaming service, YouTube. Again, I think it's more of expansion than anything diminishing, at least from my standpoint, because we've had more people come in people always want to learn, too. It's like, well, not only this, I recorded an art class, I think, at the public library here, and it just filled the room. People want to learn. I even asked them, I says, are you a painter, or are you... No, that we heard about the class and we want to get involved. So I think you can't stop people from learning. So I think that's why it's all going to be all around. Technology will change. You know, indifference, you know, there's always a different iPhone. Or who would have thought in, 2006 that, you know, iPhone that people would be using? So I think I don't know what it is. But if it does happen, I think the tools will change, but I think the community will be here and some place to create something, content creating.
So really, this kind of work and this kind of idea of media and community coming together, using different equipment to record, get a voice out, it's kind of future-proof, would you say?
See, as far as of right now, it has been. You know, I could say, well, back in 2006, we gave it a shot. Oh, in 2010, the pandemic hit. Well, it gave us a shot. But they just kept on coming in some form, especially when they submit things. So back in 10 years ago, they'd submit the DVD. Now they're just doing it by Dropboxing. They're still coming to this. I think people also like it when there's a hub, there's a place to go to, there's mm-hmm. some place to talk to, at least one of the areas. Yes, everybody can do that on their own, upload their YouTube on their own, but if they're an organization, you want to get as many bases as you can to keep them going. So as long as the organizations are still out there, yes, I think community media will be as well.
Yeah, and it's not like everyone can hire a media specialist to record and shoot and edit and all that jazz.
Correct, because again, they ask us is because they don't have the volunteers or they don't have the time. And it's like, and because once we create that content and put it on our platforms, more people are watching us and more people are coming to the library as well. So I think that it's going to be around for a while.
Okay. So I think I've got one more question for you here.
Okay.
We're in the Hub Studio at the library now. What is the number one reason someone should kind of walk in through the door, say hello? What can you do for me? What's the number one thing that you would say to them?
Okay, so if a patron comes to the library, sees the Hub, comes in and asks, what was the question?
Like, what can you do for me? What's here for me?
Okay. Get your creative outlet. You're right. This is a hard question. I kind of start off basically saying what we have for the tools. And then the first, anybody who does not know about this place, when they walk in, the first thing they say is, wow. Seriously, that's they'll just say, wow. And say, I didn't know this was out there, even though we've got brochures out there. It's on the KPL website. And we got, but they get that out there. So what we can do for them, we can make them learn about media technology. Also, after they learn that media technology, what else they can do, they can create their content, the big, content creators. So it's like we can create content for your website, for social media, or get your ideas across on a community platform. And after that, you can improve the community by your content that you've created.
All right. Jason, I heard that you mentioned some of your contact information.
Thank you. So we are located in the Kenosha Public Library, Southwest Gray Public Library here in Kenosha, and that's 7979 38th Avenue. We have a website, kenoshamedia.org. My email is jason@kenoshamedia.org. Yeah, kenoshamedia.org. And I have a direct phone line here to the Hub. It's 262-564-6103. We'd love to see you. We'd love to have you come on down. It's a great organization, great partnership, and it's going to be great to have you get involved.
Awesome. Thank you, Jason, so much for sitting down with me. It's been nice hearing more about Kenosha Community Media.
I'm Gregory Berg, and coming up on Monday's morning show here on WGTD, a very special conversation about an exceptionally special project which is about to be performed at Carthage College, the Kenosha Verbatim Project. It seeks to tell the story as authentically as possible of the aftermath of the Jacob Blake shooting and how our city was affected. Joining me is Martin McClendon and two Carthage students involved in the project. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
All this week on WGTD's Noon Tunes, we're featuring the music of Bounding Maine.
Rolling up, rolling down, we all get drunk in Tilbury Town.
At the end of every WGTD midday newscast, we feature a song by a local artist. So why not join us for Noon Tunes, Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. here on WGTD HD.